It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW Sitka. Today is Thursday, April 4th. I'm Erin Fulton with Raven News. A Sitka-based organization that supports Alaskan smallboat fishermen will be getting more than $500,000 to help them deal with the challenges of climate change and decrease the fishing industry's carbon footprint. The money is an appropriations award from U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski. The funding is going to Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association, or ALFA. But the group isn't just made up of longliners. Members include all kinds of commercial fishermen. Linda Benkin is executive director. She says that instead of using money to upgrade processing plants and boats, they plan to use the money to identify ways they can support the fishing industry. That includes creating a training program to help processors and fishermen understand how to make changes themselves. That might mean seafood processing plants add solar panels to their roofs, or fishermen convert their engines to hybrid diesel electric. She said part of the money will be spent coordinating with other maritime industries. She said that when the fishing industry moves away from fuel, it needs to align with other maritime infrastructure to move towards the same solutions.
To make sure that the next generation fuels that we identify work for them, but also work for our small boat commercial fishermen who operate out of remote ports. You know, there's that economy of scale and the accessibility of being able to refuel in a lot of different places since our fleet is so mobile and at times nomadic. And so it's really important to have that coordination between sectors.
She said much of the work will happen in a few specific Southeast communities, which will serve as test cases. Those projects will be documented and analyzed so any successes can be duplicated across the state.
We'll definitely be documenting what we're doing and drawing up plans that we can share with people of if we move to this technology or implemented this decarbonization initiative, what was the savings, what was the cost, what worked well. We look to document that well for the lessons learned and to share that broadly.
And she said that while she knows the $500,000 will go quickly, part of the award will be used to pay someone to look for more sources of funding for the project. That person will also work toward changing policy on the state and national level. Benkin said that's important because a lot of climate action and policy is made without fishermen input.
I just think fishermen need to have a seat at the table. They're great problem solvers. They're, you know, big picture thinkers. And this is a way for us to be leading in that realm and really have that control over our own destiny, I guess.
Last year, the organization received $700,000 from the Department of Energy's Vehicle Technology Office to convert two commercial fishing boats to hybrid diesel electric engines and one mariculture boat to a full electric motor. That project is ongoing with at least one boat conversion planned for this fall. After the Federal Emergency Management Agency granted the Wrangell Cooperative Association individual assistance, the tribe received even more substantial news last week. Lost subsistence food can be reimbursed. KSTK's Colette Zarnicki has the story.
Following last November's catastrophic landslide, Tribal Administrator Esther Eltsine Reese and other members took action.
First of all, I'd like to acknowledge that our community suffered a devastating loss and it impacted each and every one of us. We were trying through the FEMA assistance to provide just a little help for the community members and those that were impacted.
The tribe pushed for subsistence to be included in the emergency declaration assistance. Reese says in the past, freezers and other appliances could be replaced, but subsistence foods could not. But that's changed. Early last week, Reese and council members received the news through an email.
And then I read it, and I was just like dancing around. We had council members there. Everyone was so excited. We were giving high fives.
The FEMA email said that subsistence foods were accepted to be included in the individual assistance.
We were so excited that this addition was approved. The importance of traditional subsistence foods runs very deep for our people. The peoples of the Shtikin Kwan have stewarded and depended on our lands for subsistence for thousands of years. And we depend on traditional subsistence foods for their cultural importance.
Many residents also depend on subsistence foods as an economic factor because food and living are significantly high in Wrangell.
If freezers full of subsistence foods are lost due to a natural disaster, it is the equivalent of the loss of a grocery store in remote rural areas. We realized this importance and requested that FEMA add traditional subsistence foods as something that is covered after a natural disaster.
Subsistence food in Wrangell could be a freezer full of moose, venison, salmon, berries, and other traditional foods. Reese grew up eating subsistence foods in cake, Kikwan, on Kupernoff Island.
One of my favorite memories was eating salmon cooked in skunk cabbage leaves on the coals of a fire, and eating herring eggs with seal grease. And it just brings up the sense of how our traditional foods are a connection to our culture, they're a connection to our land, and they're a connection to our ancestors.
The executive order that the Biden administration advanced acknowledges that tribal governments bring expertise in the needs of their citizens and in stewarding their lands. FEMA will be in Wrangell during April to assist residents with applying for individual assistance. Natalie Shaver is a public affairs specialist with FEMA.
I do want to remind people that even though we don't have that in-person location at the moment, we do have an Alaska-specific hotline because we do know the needs of Alaskans are very different than maybe the rest of the country.
Shaver recommends that most people apply for assistance, even if their houses weren't destroyed. Things that the assistance could cover include grants for home repairs, temporary rental assistance, vehicles of damaged and essential personal property.
There's also potentially money for loss of subsistence items. Other things that people might think about that could potentially be covered could be medical, dental, and funeral expenses caused by the disaster as well.
Shaver says that FEMA cannot duplicate funds, meaning if the state already covered something, they cannot cover that same item. She says there's a public assistance side too, where the federal government pays 75% of the cost and the tribe pays 25%. These can go to disaster expenses like damaged infrastructure and public facilities. Lastly, a hazard mitigation grant program is included in the disaster declaration.
Grant funding is something that the tribe can use that will help protect against future hazards. And they don't have to be necessarily related to a landslide. It can be any kind of threat that is that poses risk.
This could be a wildfire, flooding, or something different from what has already been experienced. In Wrangell, I'm Colette Zarnicki.
Each year, Juneau divvies up millions of dollars collected from cruise passengers for projects that support the local tourism industry. This year, one proposed project would set aside money to help the city's tourism businesses cut down on polluting fossil fuels in their planes, buses, and boats. KTOO's Anna Canny has more.
The proposal would set aside $1 million collected via marine passenger fees to fund a new clean energy loan program. City Tourism Manager Alex Pierce says the visitor industry generates a lot of Juneau's greenhouse gas emissions. She said she's heard from residents and business owners who hope to cut down on pollution, but there needs to be incentives to speed the transition to cleaner power.
What I keep hearing consistently is that operators are interested and that it's just cost prohibitive.
Public businesses or governments are often eligible for money that helps them to cut down on their emissions. Juneau, for instance, received funding from the Federal Transportation Administration to buy their electric buses. But private tourism businesses are often excluded from those grant programs. Bob Jans, owner of the whale watching and hiking company Gastineau Guiding, has 30 diesel buses he'd like to replace. But he says it's hard for small companies to scale up.
We can dabble here and there in the market, but until we really go into it full speed ahead, the impact is not much. Well, full speed ahead is a lot of money, but this grant program would hopefully make that possible for us.
Pierce says there's a precedent for a loan program like this. In the early 2000s, the city established a loan fund that helped companies to buy quieter engines for their float planes. The new clean energy program uses that as a model. At this stage, what qualifies as clean energy is unclear. Bottom line, it's something that will cut down on greenhouse gas emissions. Pierce says that could extend to things like hydropower or even things like biodiesel. She points to Holland America in Juneau. Last summer, they started using fuel developed from cooking oil to supplement the diesel that powers some of their buses. They claim that it can cut emissions by 10%.
I don't want to unnecessarily limit operators, you know, maybe a smaller operator that wants to replace like a dirty old school bus with just a brand new clean diesel bus, that's a really big move in terms of emissions reduction.
But Jans hopes the program will eventually push the local tourism industry towards net zero emissions through electrification, which would tap into the city's hydropower supply.
If I live long enough to see our fleet converted to electric, both on our boats and with our buses, I will be the happiest person in the world.
The city is also considering a move towards further electrification of cruise ship docks. $5 million for shore power is up for consideration in the marine passenger fee budget. Though both proposals are in their preliminary stages, they'll be up for debate as the city budget discussions begin this weekend. In Juneau, I'm Anna Canny.
I'm Erin Fulton, and this has been Raven News.